This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Here we go. It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation, the second to final hour. We're going till 6 o'clock tonight. Rangers baseball is coming up. They're going to try to whoop the Twins again. Jack Leiter is on the hill. And looking forward to talking with Sands more about this coming up at 4:40 right here on The Fan, home of the Rangers, home of your Dallas Cowboys. Brian was at practice earlier. A lot going on with this team. Micah Parsons was there. And he actually was feeling good and got so excited he wanted to jump in a drill before we heard Brian.
A couple of competitive little reps that he was making sure that Sam Williams was had somebody to work against, and Sam looked good.
How does Araku do in that drill?
I'll tell you what, Araku, it's funny because we were talking about Thomas.
Yes.
Coming off the edge.
Oh, that would not be a good matchup for Nate.
It was tough.
He's slow footed.
Araku is one of these guys that he just knows how to bend, and he knows how to explode. And the first step, I mean, he is getting some ground, and then he is dipping. And he's able to kind of get underneath the blocker because of his first step.
I love it.
This guy, I mean, we've talked about the guys that were in this draft that really could bend.
Him, our guy at Marshall. 100%.
You know, yeah, I mean, he was one of the better bending guys.
Yeah. David Hellman, NFL on Fox, joins you now here on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
I'm great, guys. What's going on?
Well, we got Micah. You know, I guess it's so much fun. He wanted to jump in there. Who do you blame more for this hold in that we're looking at in this Micah deal still unresolved?
I mean, every time we do this, I think that, you know, there's going to be people that are going to take both sides of the argument, and I know the old cliche that it takes two to make a deal, but we do this every other summer. I mean, this will be the third major player we've done this with in the last year, I think. And there's one common denominator, you know, it seems like, I mean, there's going to be contract disputes every single year. I know Trey Hendrickson and TJ Watt are going through them right now. It's not unique to the Cowboys, but it is unique to the Cowboys that they're one of the only franchises that doesn't manage to make it happen with a top of the market star in a timely fashion. They do deals one of two ways. It's either the player agrees to a discount and it gets done in a timely fashion, or the player wants top of the market and it plays out until the 11th hour. So I'm always going to lay the blame with the Cowboys until they buck that trend. Cause like I said, I mean, if it's a one-off, or if it's something that doesn't happen very often, we can talk about the player's approach and whether he's doing things above board. But when you have this consistent history going back over the last 10 or 15, maybe even longer than that, where else am I supposed to go but with the thing that stays the same, and that's the front office.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And I guess the next question is like, how damaging is it to miss time or to force your players to miss time so they can get your value while you're on your third defensive coordinator over the last 19 months?
I mean, it's never good to have guys not practicing and not, you know, getting reps. And I worry that the longer you sit out, the more durability is a concern. Like, how good is your conditioning going to be? How ready are you going to be? But, I mean, we just saw CD miss most of the offseason, basically all of it, really, and come out and have an all-pro season last year. You know, he had 1,200 yards and didn't even get to play with Dak Prescott for most of his season. So it's definitely not ideal. But if they're – I mean, when you're talking about first-team all-pros, guys like Micah Parsons, I'm a little less worried than I would be otherwise. Now – is that an excuse to leave it until late August? Absolutely not. But I'm not as worried as I would be if it was somebody else.
David, why would there be any, and circle back on Micah, why would there be any reason for David Mulugeta to talk to the Joneses?
I mean, well, because if the Joneses are ready to do business, which it doesn't seem like they are. I mean, I've been following the whole storyline with Micah and Jerry supposedly having a framework in mind, and all that's left to do is call David Mulugeta. The reason why he would want to talk to him is if they're ready to play ball with a deal that would make Micah the highest paid edge rusher.
Yeah,
I don't get the impression that they're going to do that right now.
They had the early conversations with Mulugeta, and Mulugeta will not call him back. What if I told you that?
I would say I'm completely unsurprised, because Mulugeta is...
He's ruthless. He's ruthless in a good way.
He's known for getting the deal that his guy wants.
Absolutely.
And the Joneses are well known for hemming and hawing and only being willing to get something done in a timely fashion when it favors them. And that's certainly not the case with Micah Parsons when you look at what he's done over the first 4 years of his career.
How do they change this path then, David? Do they play hardball with Micah Parsons? How do they change the direction of this?
They'll probably do what they always do, Brian. They'll wait until we're a few weeks into training camp, and Michael will wind up getting the deal that he wants, and we'll just get ready to do this all over again. Like, I don't have a good answer for you other than, like I said, we got a pretty long history going back here, and the only time this stuff gets done in non-frustrating fashion is when the player in question is willing to take either a lot less than market value or a little bit less. I mean, we saw Trayvon Diggs slotted in. I think when he signed his deal,
yeah, sure did.
He was like fourth best. You know, obviously the famous one is Tyron Smith. I mean, he locked himself down for a decade, which you could easily argue that, you know, from a business perspective, was not the best move he could have made. So, this stuff gets done in non-frustrating fashion when guys are willing to do that, and if they're not, then it plays out to its frustrating conclusion with the Cowboys ultimately giving the guy the deal that he wants. Now, why does it need to go until August or maybe even September? I couldn't tell you. I mean, there's two guys that can answer that question.
What are your thoughts about the Brian Schottenheimer, the energy, the culture change, all the players are talking about? It's fun to play football again. I was pessimistic, Dave. But I'm starting to kind of buy into what Shotty's building here a little bit.
I mean, it's fun. I said this on Twitter last week. I mean, it is fun. And you know, I don't know Brian Schottenheimer personally. I left Dallas before he got hired. But he seems like a really fun guy. I've enjoyed his press conferences. His approach is refreshing. You know, I do think it's interesting that, again, Micah Parsons is in a contract dispute. And he still showed up to minicamp, and he also went on the record and said he plans to be an Oxnard. I don't know if you can give all of the credit to that to Brian Schottenheimer, but it's a departure from what we've been used to. It's different than what things were like with Mike McCarthy. Now, having said that, I roll my eyes a little bit because I roll my eyes at the idea of a complete culture change, because culture comes from the top, and the top of the Cowboys organization is never going to completely change. I mean, Jason Garrett, for all of his faults, had a strong, persistent message in his football culture. And in a lot of ways, it worked. Like, building the team that he wanted, he had a lot of success doing that. And he was consistently undermined by Jerry and Stephen Jones. And you could say the same thing about Mike McCarthy. You know, Mike McCarthy came in and very quickly had to adapt to working for a front office that was a lot more involved than what he was used to in Green Bay. So I like Shotty. It definitely feels like the vibes are high around the team right now. And I definitely think that can pay dividends, but I think we gotta pump the brakes a little bit when we're talking about a culture change. I think that's or at least a complete culture change. I think that's a step or two too far.
Dave Hellman, NFL on Fox, with us here in the Nation. Would a Von Miller or Jair Alexander addition warm up your football heart?
I mean, Von Miller, not really. Like at his age, with his injury history, not really. And honestly, between you know, people think I'm so negative. Like, between what they did with Dante Fowler and then drafting Donovan Ejiroku, like, I feel pretty good about the edge rushers on the Cowboys roster. So that doesn't do a whole lot for me. Jair Alexander, I think it's at least worth kicking the tires. I mean, obviously, people are going to say he hasn't played more than 7 or 8 games most of the last 4 years. And that's what's going to make his contract interesting, right? Like, I'm guessing this guy is going to get an incentive-heavy deal, like, you know, a one-year deal that's probably worth, like, $10 or $12 million, and then incentives on top of that can make him much more higher paid if he's available. I think that's worth it if you're the Cowboys. I mean, we don't know what to expect from Trayvon Diggs. Obviously, the rookie, Revell, not sure what to expect from a timeline perspective there. So I think cornerback is a huge, huge issue, at least for the first 5-6 weeks of the season, if not the entire year. So if you could get something like that done, like some sort of very incentive-based deal for Jair Alexander, I think it would be a great idea.
David Hellman with us here in the G-Bag Nation. I hope everyone's okay if I segue away from the Cowboys for a second. I want to ask you about the state of college football right now. Big-time LSU fan. We had a lot of changes across the board with the NIL deals and the new laws that have been passed. What do you think about college football here entering 2025?
I'm guessing that in less than a decade, it's going to be a completely unrecognizable sport, and totally contrary to what I loved about it. I mean, the things I still love about college football, it's a very regional sport. So, like, the thing that made it fun was that the Southeast did it a little bit differently than Texas, and they both did it differently than the West Coast, and the Midwest was its own thing, and you had this regional aspect to it. And on top of that, the season meant so much because one loss could completely derail your hopes. So we've already gotten rid of the regionality. Like, we're hurtling toward super leagues. We're going to have like 2 18 team conferences soon. I would be willing to bet that. And obviously, the season already means less than it did, and it'll soon mean even less because they're going to expand to like 16, however many teams they settle on. I'm always going to watch college football if LSU is fielding a team. I'm just that, and Brian's with me on this. Like, I'm just that type of sicko where if LSU's playing, I'm going to watch. But everything I really loved about the sport is slowly going away. And I don't care. I want players to get paid. I'm all in favor of NIL. I don't mind the transfer portal. If you really love your team that much, you can spend an hour one day in the off season learning who you added and who you lost. Like, it's not that hard to keep up with the transfer portal. My thing is, like I said, it's going to be NFL junior here in about 5 years. And that's not super appealing to me. We already have the NFL. So it's a little bit of a bummer. LSU's got a playoff shot this year, so that's exciting.
David Hellman, NFL on Fox, thank you so much for your time, dude. Enjoy your summer, and we hope to see you in Oxnard, sir.
Absolutely, guys. I appreciate it.
Salute. There he goes. Must follow on Twitter, listen to his podcast, and you'll be smarter and more entertained about football. Okay, coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation, Wolchuk, what do you got for us?
Yeah, man, let's get into a mixed bag. We got the anonymous Major League Baseball player poll, latest NFL signings, and are you pumped?
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
For this fight.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And it's time now for a mixed bag with Wolchuk, brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online at frankelfirm.com. Wolchuk, take it away.
All right, we do have joint practice scheduled. Todd Archer. The Cowboys are scheduled to have a joint practice with the Rams on August 5th in Oxnard, California.
Yeah.
The teams then will meet in the first preseason game at Sophie Stadium.
I really enjoy those joint practices in California.
Oh, I know you do.
That's weed. That's weed.
I know you do. So 4 days before.
Makes everything pop a little more.
Does.
The definitely
colors,
better than
the
gummy practice.
No, that can get a little haywire on you. So can the drinks that they're making these days.
Broadest, can you drive?
Holy crap.
I think I can.
Yeah, I think I can. I think I can.
I think I can.
Bad day for former Cowboy wide receivers, and I hope everything's okay here, but we go to the state capitol, Washington. We got two former
state
Cowboy
or
receivers.
The United States
capitol. Don't ask me questions anymore. I don't want to answer them.
Yeah.
I heard a state capitol there. That would be Austin for us.
Our Texas' state capitol is, yeah. But this, I'm specifically talking D.C., the nation's capital.
So the nation's works.
Fixed it. Boom. We had a bad injury for Noah Brown. He got carted off the field today during 7-on-7 drills.
Oh, hate to see it.
Hopefully he's all right. Michael Gallup, also a former Cowboy who's now a commando, is dealing with a hamstring strain. So he is not practicing either.
Surprise.
They also have Terry McLaurin who's holding out. So it's like just Debo Samuel out there. And he's doing all the things.
That's hilarious.
They're really down hard.
Well, it actually is really unfortunate. Noah Brown. We don't know the full
nature.
Yeah,
I mean, that could be a season ender. Yeah. Based on, you know, I was trying to read on what happened, and he seemed, the reaction seemed like it was bad. Like
it was
he,
a cart
he
off
knew,
the field.
Like he's pounding the turf. Like he knew this isn't good. This could be a potential season ender. So we'll wait. I hope it's not. I hope it was just a scare, and Noah Brown's fine because he's an awesome dude. But we got some injuries.
That's the first one. You know, I think that's why if you're Micah, I'm not actually doing any practice or anything with the team until, you know, the contract is signed. Because what are we going to get? Maybe three or four of these? I'm surprised we haven't had more. Usually we get three or four. I think this is the only one. Is this the only
so far from
injury
like this past week that I've heard
of? Oh, yeah. But this offseason, I think you've had some guys get, I know our Darius Washington.
Yeah, he tore his.
Tore his
with the Ravens. We had an injury with the linebacker.
Greenlaw,
but I think he's going to be okay. I don't think that's a season ender, but yeah. Now, The Athletic put out their Major League Baseball anonymous players poll today. Couple of interesting things for the Rangers. One question, which manager aside from your own would you most like to play for? The number one vote getter, Bruce Bochy.
Wow,
that was polled.
Dude.
Yep. One player said of Bochy, he's a fun guy to play for and has so much experience that you can't do anything but learn from him. Another one said, championships. He's old school, and I like that style.
Yeah, you'd want to play for the greatness and knowing, hey, if we have the players, Boch can manage us through. And, you know, I think a lot of guys get credit like Heaney and Hedgy and stuff, but it's Boch that enables or allows for a lot of that, you know, kind of cultural stuff to kick in. And he's a genius, you know.
Yes.
But it's that grandfatherly style that some of these guys had, and Wash had it as well, that just makes you lean into their advice instead of repel it. And it's just such a massive advantage when you get a guy who's got natural vibability, no matter what age he is.
And just the presence of his voice. Like he starts talking, you're going to listen. You can't not. Now, the manager, aside from their own that they don't want to play for, Bud Black of the Colorado Rockies.
Didn't he get fired already?
Yeah, and he's a guy that...
Here was
one of the quotes, because he doesn't stop talking when he's in the dugout, and as a player, it gets kind of annoying. Plus, it means I'd be pitching in Colorado. Another one said, honestly, it doesn't matter. It's whoever the Rockies manager is who I was going to say.
Wow.
That's a real quote.
So, yep, that was a real quote. That was a baseball. That was not a ball sack.
Wow.
So that's not good. And then you have the reputations question. Which organization have good reputations among the league? The Rangers did get good reputation. They were, I think, number 10 among Major League Baseball. The Dodgers have the most. The Yankees, I mean, the teams that are going to be spending money. Nobody responded with the Rangers having a bad reputation. They only got good votes. But the worst reputations, the bottom three, Rockies, White Sox, Athletics.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Astros.
I wish. The Astros.
Let's just put them in there for the sake of just having
the Astros
fun.
Did get two votes for bad reputation.
I
think that's cheating scandal related. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The players also are against the robo umps. I think that was a big takeaway from this article for me. Yeah, they're against it.
It sounds like to me that Major League Baseball is getting these umpires ready I was hearing some segment or some talk about like that used to be the ball that was maybe 2 inches off the plate. They're now even making it a tighter strike zone, getting these umpires ready for like how they're going to get challenged. Like they're not calling the wide strike anymore.
Well, they didn't want the pitch clock either. And I think now a lot of them, if you circle back, they're okay with it. Just change.
They don't want change.
Right. Yeah. And then once it happens, you adjust. And I mean, I think I don't like change.
No.
But it's inevitable. And you have to just take it in stride, and naturally we learn to adapt to it. So I'm not like shocked the player said this, but it's inevitable. Like this is going to happen. You're right, Brian. Like they're getting these umps ready to go, and I liked it. I thought it worked great in spring training, at least with the challenge system, because I think it made the umpires better because they want to be able to show you up and be like, dude, hey, I got this. The challenge system, and they don't want the robo umps in the future. They want to be able to keep their jobs.
Well, of course, the umps do. I'm surprised the players don't. I mean, maybe they like having a say in it. Maybe they like the tradition of it.
Yeah.
Or just being resistant to change is a natural baseball characteristic. Most of those people are stubborn, outdated.
Have the Rangers found their DH? I think they might have.
Burger bombs.
Yeah, Jake Burger is crushing it since he's just been solely a DH. And I know yesterday some fans were like, whoa, Josh Smith?
He can focus more on it. I mean, for Burger, defense takes a lot of effort.
Yeah, and I think that there's 100% truth to that. I mean, the highest OPS he's posted at any position that he started is just DHing. And certainly his numbers with the Rangers have been really, really good since he's come back off of, they sent him to AAA. He's come up, but he's just been really good in that DH spot. So when we have Jared on the other side, like, are we going to start to just see a lot more Josh Smith at first base? Because they want to be able to keep him in the lineup as much as possible as well. You don't really have an easy answer if you're not going to play Burger at first. Who else is going to do that? It might just be Smitty. That might end up just kind of being
that's
spot.
The lineup again for tonight is Smith at first base.
Right.
So what do you do when Jock Peterson comes back?
There's a big question. I think you put Jock at DH because where the hell else are you going to play Jock? But if it doesn't look good, Jock ain't playing.
DFA.
Yeah. There's a real possibility.
He's got to be hitting bombs. Yeah. He's got to come back on fire.
And this isn't a team that can wait around anymore.
I mean, he looked like he wanted nothing to do with first base or outfield, and I don't know if he's physically capable of it, but if Napoli did, he could.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. He probably should take some reps out there at first then.
And lose that
when
boiler.
When he's ready. When he's ready. 100%.
Do you feel like, though, that like one out of every five or six games you might lose – because Josh Smith playing first base?
I think the more Josh plays first, he's going to become much better at it. So, I think the other night...
I trust what you're saying, but yes. I'd feel better if CY looked at Dawson and said that.
Well, I would too. I trust CY way more than I trust myself.
Maybe first base is going to be a great opportunity to add some power at the deadline if you're trading Mally. It gives you another position to look at, like, hey, let's DFA Jock. We'll trade Mally for a first baseman, Burger at DH, and we'll be good to go as long as Evan Carter's playing like this.
Right. And let's hope to God Evan keeps this up, man, because his confidence as well. Kendall Landry has a great article out today talking about just the confidence factor for Evan Carter right now. And shout out to the Nationals here. They're calling up their top prospect.
We're about to do this a lot now.
Bruce the Bat Dog from AAA.
Okay.
Prospect? Come on, Brian. Did I get you there?
yeah.
He's going to make his major league debut on Saturday. The Bat Dog. He's coming up to the major leagues, boys.
Is he a nine-hole hitter?
He's the number one goodest prospect in Major League Baseball. He is a nine-hole hitter. Of course he is. The other news of note.
I think his biggest significance is going to be from the two-hole.
You think he ends up pooping?
Wait, there's no question.
All over there in the outfield.
Who's calling this up? The Nats are calling
this up? The Nats.
Okay, what
about back to the nation's capital, Brian.
Okay, what about the bat boy situation over there, or bat lady situation?
They still have them. It's just a gimmick. It's cute. The kids like it.
Does it take the place of the person going out and getting the bat?
No.
Yeah. Did somebody lose a job because of this?
That's what I'm saying. Are we like?
You gonna have bite marks on your handles?
Was this like a summer gig that somebody lost?
No. Nobody's losing their job here.
Squeezing out the working man.
He's an adorable golden retriever, and I think that this is.
You sound like you're all.
Wait till Fox News hears about this.
This is awesome.
Yeah. Giving jobs to dogs now.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean.
What happened?
I don't
Billy?
Think anybody lost their job.
I lost a dog. I lost to a dog.
Damn, Air Bud took my gig.
They took our jobs.
It's unbelievable. You're gonna like
bat
this, Brian.
No, I'm not.
Bad dogs, bro.
We got a crust
just slobbering all over bats.
Oh, yeah, they're not like he's not actually gonna be touching the bats.
When we do dog story, is dog pooping on the grass the first thing you think of?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Of course, with Eric, it is.
I love watching Eric's face when a dog story comes up.
Well, he's gonna probably poop. He probably is going to poop.
That's gonna happen.
What about the dog chasing?
Well,
the
Mark
ball?
Schott's dog did.
I think he's a pretty well-trained dog. I mean, he's been prospecting for quite some time now, Brian. There was a reason he was on the AAA team forever.
That's true. I mean, I don't want to sit here and act like this dog hasn't earned it. But I at can, the same he's, time, he's gone the through hazards. It. I don't have to worry about a bat boy dropping a grumper on third base.
Yeah. I tell you what you could worry
somebody
about.
Somebody stumbles and
what
trips.
What if this dog just immediately went after the ball? Ground ball, dog just breaks.
Playing fetch. Oh,
he breaks from the dugout. Hey, just breaks from the dugout.
It's a fair concern.
Gets in the way of the base runner. Trips the base runner going for the, like he's trying to get down the line. Dog crosses path, trips him.
Well, that would be the end of the bat dog.
That's how Derek Holland's career took a turn for the worse. That'd be an old yeller situation.
Somewhere the bat boys are all going, yeah.
That'd be the end of it.
Stupid dog. stupid.
What you get.
We've got.
What was the name of that dog from Derek? Was it Wrigley, the boxer?
Oh, my gosh. Lucius might remember.
Tripped
this.
Him on the stairs.
I can't remember the dog.
Oh, yeah.
Did.
Remember that story?
I do remember that story.
Was Dutch playing like adult hockey league? Or
Dutch was making up stuff as he went along.
No, I think this one was real.
What? There's no way.
I think this one's real. I'm going to have his back here on that.
No, you're not.
Yeah, the dog was Wrigley. It was a boxer.
There we go.
Gosh, Wrigley. And that's 100% true story.
Okay? It is. Absolutely true.
Because the Rangers have shot that
what
year.
What are you trying to insinuating?
What? I've been with you guys over there. It's yeah? A little crazy.
So?
So what do we eat? We eat pizza burgers or something?
And there were a lot of dogs, were there not? Two of them.
There were dogs.
Absolutely.
I don't know about getting in the way. They looked like they were out of the way.
All right, get off my lawn, guy. Let's go to Joe Flacco. This dude, every time he gets in front of a mic, he's just showing how crusty he is. He went on a rant about TikTok, but this one is just about how wussified the players are in today's NFL. Take it away, Joe Flacco.
Even when it got easier in like 2011, I think, everybody that was playing at that point had been through 2-a-days at some point in their life. Guys that come in the NFL now have never done it. They've never done it. We're out there for an hour and 15 minutes and guys think it's hard. You know, like our OTAs were over 2 hours for sure.
Just the difference now.
Well, I love the honesty. And we need more honesty from Joe, and he's finally reached a point he does not give a crap.
Does not care.
Yeah, he does not
he
care.
Does
he
not.
Does not care no. at all. He's setting himself up for that media career. Well, Roger said the same thing. When they were interviewing Rodgers, he was like,
I'm just not going to play Aaron Rodgers.
We don't
that guy.
We don't practice. This isn't hard.
Yeah.
You know?
They're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. My first training camp in 2010, it was already like that. And I heard, well, it's because it's Wade Phillips. This is Camp Cupcake. Hey, and I'm like, Cupcake. Okay, let's get Jason Garrett in here. And you did get a little bit more physicality, but not much. Mm. Most physical thing about Garrett, the most training camp thing from Garrett was the remedial run program. Remember that when you wouldn't show up with a good enough cardio and you failed the run test, he'd make you run every morning until you could pass it.
Oh,
Sands coming up next. Lighter tonight. We'll ask him about his most likely career path.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Here next in the nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation. We're an hour and 15 minutes away from pregame. The Rangers are going to look for their fourth win in a row tonight as the bats got loud last night. Jared Sandler joins us now, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. And a good afternoon, Sands. How are you?
What's up, guys? I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Man, we are doing great as well. What was the vibe like last night? And do we have reason to believe this could continue this evening?
Yeah, I think the vibe was kind of like, this is what we expect of ourselves, not 16 runs, but just being a threat offensively. And I think that, the expectation is that, or the hope I should say, is that they are slowly turning the corner. And I think it kind of goes back, if you ask people here, they'll say, it goes back to May 30th. And I know the Tampa series wasn't outstanding, but it goes back to May 30th. They felt like, things were starting to turn, hitting the ball harder, hitting fastballs harder, and now starting to get some results to show. But, it's not easy getting a read. This is a pretty even keel group, not a lot of volatile or emotional personalities, which I think maybe can serve them well, especially when you're struggling. But I think the hope is that, yeah, you know, they're maybe turning a corner. But if they come out tonight against David Festa and put up a, you know, a goose egg or close to it, then, you know, all last night was, you know, just a brief change of pace. You know, they got to do it consistently, and hopefully they can do that.
Should we be getting used to seeing Josh Smith over at first base, Jared, with just how comfortable Berger is at DHing?
Yeah, I think there are a few things. I mean, yes, I think that it's not an indictment against Jake Berger at first, because I think he's been outstanding defensively. But, you know, Boach was talking about how there's certain guys who they're comfortable in that role. They're able to perform in that role as a DH. And I know, as tough as it might be to explain, because it seems like, well, why wouldn't you be? I mean, all you have to do is focus on hitting, but that sometimes is the problem. And there's some guys who they have a tough time adjusting to that. I think ultimately we'll still see a lot of Jake Berger at first base, but right now, no reason to, you know, mess things up. And, you know, the other thing too is Tyler Mahle, fly ball pitcher, Jack Leiter, more of a ground ball pitcher than he's been, but, you know, a guy who can get the ball in the air a lot. And so these are good opportunities for Josh to continue to get reps and to get work at first base, because chances are, as the season unfolds, you know, Josh at first, or Josh anywhere, is an ability to get your best bats in the order. And I think they want to make sure that Josh gets more experience at first base to equip him if that is something that he's going to take on as more of a regular role. And again, it's not about Jake. Jake's going to be in the lineup too. It's just about figuring out the best nine. It's not a linear Jake versus Josh situation.
Jared, how surprised were you by that foul ball almost hitting you?
So I wasn't, I'll be honest, I wasn't paying attention. I was actually, if you want to know specifically what I was doing, I might have tweeted it, I forget. I was trying to dive into the Rangers' work against the fastball last night, because that's been such a big point of emphasis. And all next thing I hear is, you know, look out. And so I just ducked for cover, because when you hear look out, I don't know how far away the ball is,
yeah,
right? You know,
yeah.
I thought maybe it was bearing down, and I just wanted to protect. The stupidest thing I did was not protect the laptop.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious. If you ask me right now, hey, would you rather break an orbital bone or have your laptop totally damaged? I'd say, who cares about my orbital bone? It'll be fine eventually, right? Like my laptop, if I lose information or whatever, that becomes a major pain in the ass, and I don't want to have to deal with that. So that was my biggest mistake. But I brought us, you guys know me, I definitely was upset last night that I didn't put myself in a better position to make a play.
Yeah.
I feel like I let down a lot of young Jewish broadcasters, because, you know, a lot of us have been told that we're not capable of catching foul balls hit back towards us.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an opportunity to change that narrative, and the reality is I failed, and I'm going to have to live with that for a long time.
Appreciate your vulnerability there, Jared. Of course, you'll be paying attention to every single moment with Jack Leiter on the hill tonight.
Yeah, I was diving into some stuff on Jack. You know, one of his strengths so far this year, and I think we talked about this, probably talked about it a few times really since that Red Sox start, is getting to two strikes. One of the biggest challenges has been finishing guys off with two strikes. I looked at this earlier. I think there are 117 pitchers who have made at least 10 starts, and Jack is 115th in pitches per batter faced once getting to two strikes, which is simply to suggest that, you know, he hasn't been efficient with the bullets in the chamber once he gets to two strikes. And, you know, looking at some spray charts, it's really clear kind of what he's articulated, that he's maybe tried to be too fine, too perfect with two strikes. You look at the fastball location distribution, the heat map of where he's throwing his fastballs in two strike counts versus non two strike counts. It's not nearly as consistent in non two strike counts. And then the other thing for me, you know, if people want to follow along with something, you know, Jack's slider is, in addition to the four seam fastball that he elevates, the slider is another option to put guys away, but it's not a sweeping slider, right? It's got more vertical movement to it. And so, you know, we talk about tunneling, we talk about, you know, the way pitchers can disguise their pitches and play them off of one another. One of the challenges for Jack with two strikes is, you know, he's throwing that slider off the plate away from righties. And so that becomes an easy pitch for hitters to lay off, because it's the only pitch Jack throws that has any sort of glove side of movement to it. So if I'm a right-handed hitter, I see that pitch starting over the outside corner, it's not nearly as appealing to me to chase, or if it's slightly off the plate, it's not nearly as appealing to me. Where when he is most effective with that pitch, he's throwing it over the plate. Now, not necessarily a strike, it's below the zone, but it gives off the illusion that, you know, hey, this might be the fastball, and then it just tumbles below the zone. And so I'm curious, and if, you know, people want something to follow along with tonight, when Jack gets to two strikes, where's he locating that slider to righties when he's throwing that pitch? Is he throwing it over the plate? Because if he's throwing it over the plate, that's a very tough pitch for hitters to lay off. And if he can get that below the zone, he'll get swings and misses. If he's throwing it more towards the outside corner or off the plate, unless a team is going to be undisciplined or very, you know, swing happy, that's an easier pitch for them to lay off of. And it slowly takes away that two strike advantage that Jack has.
Jared, I love seeing the two youngsters, Langford and Carter, both getting home runs last night, and Evan Carter showing off that power a little bit. I don't think people understand, or I think we're a little bit surprised to see Evan Carter with the power that he's showing off.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy who, I remember when he was first coming up, you know, you always ask the question, what do you see? Like, what's a stat line you see for this guy, or what can he grow into from, you know, this stats? Can this guy be a 300 hitter? Can this guy be a 30 home run hitter? And the thought was that, you know, Evan Carter, as he continued to put on some muscle, you know, he could become a 30 home run hitter. Maybe not like a perennial 30 home run a year guy, but a guy who, yeah, if he had a few 30 home run seasons, it wouldn't surprise anyone, because he does have such great plate discipline, and he puts himself in favorable positions at the plate. And, you know, he's athletic with long arms, you know, can get good extension and really drive the ball. And he was learning more and more as he was coming up through the system to hit for power. And but, you know, the reality is, Eric, as has been the case when talking about Evan, it's just a matter of getting him out on the field and giving him a runway with a large sample size to show what he can do and for him to grow into, you know, who he can be. And so, you know, I think he's a guy that if he played 140 games is probably someone you'd expect to hit in the 20s and maybe, you know, in a given year hit, you know, 30, 32, 33 home runs. Not a guy who's going to threaten for 40 home runs, you know, you wouldn't think. So it's nice to see him tapping into that power, because a lot of scouts when he was coming up really projected that he would be a guy who, you know, could contribute in the power department, even if it wasn't like a 30 home run a year guy, but someone who could threaten that number if, you know, he had a good year, got hot over a stretch.
What are we thinking about Evaldi? What's the update?
Yeah, I think he's, you know, hoping to throw a bullpen session or off the mound this weekend. And then, you know, hopefully it's not too long after that where we see him back on the hill. I spoke with him briefly yesterday, and I think he's optimistic that, you know, things were just kind of on pause, it seemed like, in the recovery, but now he feels like he's turned a corner and things are starting to improve. And so when the team comes back home, he'll throw and then hopefully get him back in a big league game shortly thereafter.
What do you think of the matchup with the pitcher tonight?
Yeah, well, it's a cool throwback for these guys. They faced off in a playoff game years ago in New Jersey, and Jack and David Festa both pitched in relief in that game, and neither of them gave up a run. Jack actually had an RBI base hit. If you guys remember, you know, Jack spent a lot more time probably as an infielder growing up in his early teenage years and really early on in high school. Anthony Volpe had a big game, as you'd imagine, and Del Barton, where Jack and Anthony Volpe went one. But, yeah, it's a little bit of a high school rematch. Wow. But Festa's a guy that, you know, he pitched well against the Rangers last year when they faced him, but he's not a guy that you look at and you're like, man, we're going to have a tough time with this guy. At least that shouldn't be the case. Now, I say that, and we've said that about pitchers throughout this year, and the reality is this. If you are not putting together good at-bats, it doesn't matter which major league pitcher is on the mound. They're going to have success against you. Stimmian Woods Richardson, you could have said the same thing, but the Rangers have good at bats and they took advantage of their opportunities last night. So if they keep doing that, you know, David Festa, is not a guy who you think, gosh, he's going to be able to make his pitch over and over and over to make life tough for the Rangers. But, you know, it's obviously going to be on them to take advantage of it.
Thank you, Sans. Have a great night up there. And we hope to talk about more dominance offensively tomorrow with you.
Yeah, fellas, hope so too. Take care.
Cheers, buddy. There he goes. He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter. Chief, where are we going next?
Football's Finest, featuring one area the Cowboys must get better at next in the nation.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972. Go Men's Tea or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.